Okay, let us pray.
Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we do submit ourselves to thee for finishing today. We thank you for preserving the word of God as our authority down through the ages. And I pray, Lord, that we know the end of all things is near. And I pray that we might be clear on what is happening in the world today, that we may not be deceived. Bless our families, bless our little ones, our families, larger families and friends, Lord, and bless our friends in the other denominations, that we might have an opportunity to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We all know that the world is coming to an end. There is biblical evidence of that. Last night I met a Hindu, an Indian, and he was at a function we were running on liberty against forced COVID vaccinations, against forced fluoridation in the water supply and all these things. And there were many decent Christians there, but they are looking at these evil things in the world, and the Christians are getting militant around the world. Can we see that? The Christians are standing up for Jesus. The Christians recognize the obvious evils in the world today. Abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, evolution in the schools while the Bible is barred, and the consequences of the separation of church and state to them, that our liberties that come from the separation of church and state have been turned into licentiousness deliberately by the devil. So what am I coming at? I'm saying that all these obvious evils, the New World Order, the Jewish Illuminati, the restoration of the Jews in Israel, and the rebuilding of their temple, all these things, the Baptists, the Evangelicals, the Pentecostals are all looking for these things and seeing them as signs of the last days. We, of course, as Adventists, believe that they're wrong on many doctrines. They're wrong on the 1,000 years of peace. They believe that the 1,000 years of peace is going to be on earth, but we know it's not. But that's why, incidentally, in all the modern Bibles, the Matthew 24:3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, has been changed to the end of the age. And that change is deliberate, and nobody had any problem with the archaic word world. So it was deliberately changed to fit in with their theology. So that is the deceit of the translators of, and of course we know that the Jesuits have a doctrine which the end justifies the means. And so they're prepared to change God's word. And yet God said the threat in Revelation 22:18-19, if any man adds to his word, God will add to them the plagues written into it. And if anyone taketh away, he's going to take away from them their name out of the book of life. So we're living in interesting times, but all these churches out there are deceived. They believe there's going to be, how would you put it, 1,000 years of peace on this earth. They believe in the physical restoration of Israel. They believe once saved, always saved. They believe that the Antichrist is going to come in the future. We as Seventh-day Adventists believe that the papacy is the Antichrist, and it's changed God's laws. But that has been changed through futurism. And so we're going to discuss some of these things today, so we will be better prepared to not be deceived in the last days. We know it says in Revelation 12:9 that Satan is going to deceive the whole world. I want to read it out to you because we've read it many times before. But, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So they know it's a real war. Some of us don't realize quite that there is a war going on for our very lives. And the whole issue is over the commandments of God. And so last night at this meeting, we had about 30 people there from different denominations looking at these obvious evils, giving out tracts on COVID-19 and trying to avoid UN agenda, working out ways to avoid UN agenda 2021 and 2030. Have you heard of those agendas? Well, you have. Well, that's good. But those agendas want to water us all down and take assets off people. And it's the driving power behind it. And I've studied this for 45 years, and that doesn't make me right or wrong. But I'm a bit disappointed when Adventists point all their blame upon the papacy. It says in Revelation 18:2 that the papacy became the habitation of devils, right? And it says, and I believe that happened at Vatican II. Who's heard of Vatican II? The Roman Catholic Church changed at Vatican II, but, and it was liberalized for a very good reason. But in Revelation 17:8, it shows that the woman, that's the papacy, rode the beast from the bottomless pit. Well, where are we going with this? Is there anywhere else where the bottomless pit is mentioned in the Bible? Yes, it is. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, we're told that the beast from the bottomless pit destroyed the union of church and state in France at the French Revolution. What am I saying here? For 1260 years, there were three powers in the world. Does anybody know what those three powers were through the Dark Ages, the 1260 years? There were three powers. We know of two. There was the papal power and the subservient kings through the union of church and state, which killed 100 million of our brothers and sisters that are going to sit round that table in heaven. So we should thank God that we have the life and liberty today to come here and worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. The freedoms and liberties we have today didn't just drop out of the sky. They were wrought in a hard-fought battle. Men and women in the Middle Ages stood up at the risk of their lives and exposed the wickedness of the man of sin. And so we have two powers, but there was a third power. The third power was the Jewish money power. And they, I've got slide presentations. You can see them on the internet, but the third power was in darkness. It lurked in the shadows, and yet it had the money of the world tied up. And so the papacy was robbing us spiritually while the Jewish money power was robbing us physically. They had their hand in the pocket, and the Jew and the Roman Catholic Church had the hand over their eyes. And so if you study into the French Revolution, this all changed. Who's heard of Albert Pike? Albert Pike, he wrote the book Morals and Dogma. Albert Pike made a statement in his book called Morals and Dogma, page 223 and 224. He said, when the king's head was chopped off, or when the king's head fell from the guillotine into the basket, half our work was done. That was in 1793. Does anybody know what the other half of the work was? To destroy the Pope. They got the king and the Pope. Now, if we go back a bit from here, we digress for a moment and we see where this struggle started. The Christians were refused the right to lend money at usury. So there were very few money powers in Europe through these years run by Christians, because they were forbidden to have usury. So the Jews had the monopoly on money. And if you go and step it out, it's right through every century in Europe, the Jews controlled the money of the world. They had the kings in debt, but periodically the kings would rob the Jews, like good King Wenceslas. We sing that song. He cancelled all the debt that the Jews had with the people. So Martin Luther spoke that the whole of Germany was in debt to the Jewish bankers. But quite often, They were kept in the ghettos and they were persecuted and robbed by the church. So they hated the Catholic Church and they hated the kings, which were the two powers that ruled Europe. But the third power was the Jewish money power, and they controlled people through secret societies or Freemasonry. And whether we like it or not, the British Empire and the United States was part of it, whether you like it or not, but it was run by Rothschild money from the Bank of England. And they controlled us through Freemasonry because there was not enough Jews to rule the world. So they made honorary Jews out of Gentiles, usually Protestants, because Catholics were not allowed to join the Freemasons. But unless you're a non-confessing Catholic, that's another story. Where does this go back to? It goes back to the Jewish desire. When the temple was destroyed in AD 70 by Titus, 1.2 million Jews perished and another million went into slavery. But we go back a step further, and when under Nehemiah and Ezra, the Jews came out of captivity from the Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar exile, they 10% of the people came out to rebuild the temple. The other 90% stayed in Babylon. And when the Jews left the gates open, the night Belshazzar had the feast, and the writing went on the wall and said, "Many, many tikal ufasin, thou hast been judged, found wanting, and tonight you die." Well, that night he had his throat cut during the feast. And one of the reasons was he drank out of God's holy goblets from the temple. But the Jews left the gates open. Eustace Mullins proves this, and other historians showed it, because the Jews were in Babylon, and I've got archaeological evidence to show, although they were meant to be slaves, they owned the banking system. There's archaeological evidence to show that they were prominent bankers in Babylon. So when the action moved to Persia, when the Medo-Persians conquered under Cyrus, they conquered Babylon, the Jews were owed a favor because they left the gates open during the feast. So they got the Artaxerxes gave them the right to rebuild their temple. But my point is 90% of the Jews stayed in Babylon because to leave and rebuild the temple meant there was a cross to carry. And so they stayed in Babylon, and that some of them went to Persia where the action was because the Medo-Persians had taken over. And they ruled wherever the Jews went. Within 100 years, they ruled. They took over that country because they worked as a pack, and with their tithing system, it built up a lot of money over 100 years. And they used that to get the Gentiles in debt. And whether you know it or not, the United States is controlled by the Wall Street Jews and the Illuminati. And that's why Henry Kissinger and Madeleine Albright and all these ones can be born in Germany or Yugoslavia, and yet they rise to prominence in the United States government. The Bush family, their real name was Schiffel. They were Jews. And the whole of American foreign policy is to advance the cause of Zionism. And the cause of Zionism after the destruction of Jerusalem was what? To rebuild the temple. Every Sabbath and every Passover, they make a prayer. And they say, next year, Jerusalem. And we'll find out in the next little bit what this got to do with the end of Earth's history. Well, they desired to rebuild their temple and rule the world from there as God's chosen people. Well, I don't believe they are God's chosen people. The Baptists, Evangelicals, and Pentecostals all believe that they are God's chosen people. I believe when in Matthew 27:25, when they said, "Let his blood be on us and our children," they did their chips. The 490-year prophecy came to an end when they stoned Stephen in AD 34. And one of the reasons was when Stephen the martyr was preaching the gospel to them, they covered their ears. Do you remember that? And so they finished being God's people. And if you look at Romans 9, 10 and 11, and we should know these things because our Baptist friends believe the Jews are God's chosen people today. So what happened? In Israel was represented as an olive tree. And when Christ came, the unbelieving Jews, it might have been 70%, I don't know exactly, were cut off. That's biblical. Do you understand? That the unbelieving Jews were cut off the olive tree, but the believing Jews, the disciples and the great multitude from Pentecost were left on the olive tree. They were never cut off. They had accepted the Jewish Messiah. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that the Bible shows that the church was Israel. The first church was Israel. They did nothing to be cut off. The branches that were cut off, withering on the ground, could only be put back on through acceptance of Jesus Christ, because they were cut off for unbelief. It's logic that they could only be put back on through belief. Is that logic? And so the Gentiles, us, the wild olive branches, were grafted in. Is that understandable? So all God's promises to Israel forever and ever were not broken by God. Israel chose to kill their Messiah. And so they set out to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, there were lots of events to do this. The first one was under in AD 115, was it? Simon Cochbar, and they were destroyed. That was at Masada. That attempt was destroyed. Another attempt was made by Julian the Apostate. Julian the Apostate was one of the last Roman emperors. It was in 64 or thereabouts. He tried to rebuild the temple. Why? Because the Jews, with their money, had financed him to do so. He proclaimed to the world that that was his object and nothing would get in his way. And this is important that you remember this, that I believe the temple, all their attempts, they tried a dozen times to rebuild the temple, and every time it was supernaturally burnt down or suffered an earthquake. Why? Because God's dear son, Jesus Christ, is not going to be turned into a liar by these unbelieving Jews who called his blood upon them and their children. I'm saying that the temple is not going to be built. All the Baptists and all that are looking for Antichrist to come, the 7 years of tribulation, the first 3.5 years of a covenant of peace. There's a slight variation on that, but they're all looking for the Antichrist to come. Now, where am I leading with this? I'm leading to a point of the deceptions of the last days, is that the devil is fulfilling all the false prophecies of the Sunday-keeping churches. Do you follow me? We see the restoration of Israel. They want to rebuild the temple. They tried again, incidentally. I'll follow this line for a moment. Has anyone heard of the Merovingian Jews? The Merovingian Jews lived in France. And there's all kinds of nonsense being spoken about the Holy Grail and Jesus being married and all that. I'm not going to go down that line of nonsense, but they were a group of Jews with rabbis that left Jerusalem before, some say after, the destruction of Jerusalem, and they settled in the part of the Roman Empire, which is today Champagne and France. And they became very wealthy, and it wasn't long before they influenced and were they provided the kings of many of the empires of Europe. But they had a desire, what? To return to Israel and rebuild their temple there as God's chosen people. That's why every Passover and every Sabbath they pray, next year Jerusalem. That's their desire. And we're going to find out that the devil is fulfilling these desires, and the Baptists and other deceived Christians are seeing that that's being fulfilled, and they see it as a prophetic sign. So I reiterate the point that Satan is fulfilling the Sunday keeping keepers' false prophecies. They say that this new world order is going to come, and there's going to be a war, that there's going to be Armageddon. And I believe the devil is going to have an Armageddon. And I'm going to explain to you before we finish how he's playing both sides. He's playing up the new world order, the vaccinations and fluoridation of the water supplies. People are waking up across the world, and there's a grassroots movement growing. But I believe, and I told these people last night, including this Hindu I met, but he was rapt when I gave him a National Sunday Law book, incidentally, because I told him, I didn't denigrate his religion, I just said Christianity, the Bible, I picked it up 45 years ago to disprove it, And I found out it told the future. And I've been studying it ever since. That doesn't make me an authority, but I'm fascinated with the only book in the world. And he wanted that. The book tells the future? Yes. So I gave him a National Sunday Law book. We've just printed, incidentally, 1.7 million National Sunday Law books in New Zealand. And we distributed them around to every household. But unfortunately, in the postal system, some little Catholics took hundreds of them to the dump because they don't want it to be exposed that the Pope is the Antichrist and man of sin, which God has commanded his children, us, to expose, not with bitterness, but with a clear, solemn voice calling the people out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people, and be not participants in their sins. So where are we going with this? I'm saying that the Sunday keeping churches are fulfilling all these roles. And what we're going to go back to the Merovingian Jews in a moment, but what I'm going to suggest is that it says in Great Controversy 592 that the American people react to bring in the Sunday law. It's not the New World Order, which is an obvious evil run by the Illuminists and the Jews and all that, to water down America and water down all the nations into the world to one happy so-called family. America, we're told in Revelation 13, 11 to 18, is going to react to that. The American people. I've been to America 60 times. I love the American people. I speak to them out on the prairies and the farmlands, and they're concerned. They're concerned about these obvious evils. They're concerned about abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, kiddies of 8 being asked to decide their agenda, all these evils. So the devil is building up and goading America with all these evils. Evolution in the schools, but not the Bible. The right-wing Sunday-keeping churches are reacting. And that's what the Bible says in Revelation 13, 14, that the Sunday law comes from the reaction from all these bad guys, the so-called Antichrist, who's a non-religious Jew that's coming at the end of Earth's history, is being used. The devil's playing both sides. You can't get a reaction from the Sunday keepers unless you build up something obviously evil. And that's the New World Order, the bankers, the Illuminists, and all these things, homosexuality, all these obvious evils. It's causing the reaction. And the reaction is going to come in the United States of America. The National Sunday Law, 2 Selected Messages 372, is going to come in America. Then it says national apostasy is going to be followed by national ruin. And I believe the devil is going to dish up for all the Sunday keeping churches an Armageddon, right? And if I could arrange it, I'd show you all the slides I have on this. All the world leaders are looking for Armageddon, from Putin to presidents of the United States. They're looking for a war. Albert Pike said, in order for us to prepare the world for Lucifer's coming as Christ, we must have 3 world wars. Who's privy to that statement by Albert Pike, who was the head of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry? Does anybody know that statement? He said, we'll have 3 world wars. That was in 1874. We've had the First World War, the Second World War, and he told us the Third World War would be between the Jews and the Muslims in the Middle East. And so we're going to have this Antichrist, the New World Order. Then we're going to have the Sunday Christians standing up in moral indignation, and they are saying that we must get back to Jesus. We must get evolution out of the schools. We must stop abortion. Well, abortion is evil, and we should stop it, but we're not going to force religion on people as a consequence. Do you see where I'm coming from? And so we're going to have possibly a nuclear war, which is their Armageddon, and then Jesus is going to come. And Jesus is going to save us. And Jesus is going to tell us to keep Sunday holy. You get it? Now, all the churches out there don't understand the references to Satan coming as Christ. Now, we're going to go through them. You should know them. And we'll do them shortly. You remind me. But if we don't understand and the churches don't believe that Satan is going to impersonate Christ, then who are we going to accept as Jesus? He's going to come as an angel of light. It says that in Great Controversy 6:23-5. And I could read it to you. You should read it yourselves. But what happened, that's the 1911 edition. And when he comes, put with that Testimonies to Ministers, page 62, then the law of God is made null and void in the world. And that is the international Sunday law. You can go to some of these countries, China, India, Japan. You can preach for 100 years and you might get one or two converts. But when Satan comes after a nuclear war as a great angel of light and speaks with a melodious voice, he's going to urge everybody to keep Sunday in honor of his resurrection. Why? Because he died on Calvary, and he'll tell the people, my children, I carried the heavy cross. I wore the thorny crown. I drank the bitter cup. I was humiliated and I died for you folk. I loved you so much. I came to this earth. I didn't have to do it, but I did it. And what happened? And then I rose again on the first day of the week. And I want you to keep Sunday in honor of my resurrection. And you and I, as Seventh-day Adventists, we know that's a lie, because the bottom line of the whole issue, as I told to these people last night, the devil is bringing a false value of right and wrong upon the world. The Bill Gates and COVID-19 and AstraZeneca and ivermectin and Pfizer, it's all part of a satanic scandal. But they're saying, well, that's right. And what is right is the Sunday keeping Christians and the grassroots movements all over the Western world that are standing up and saying we had enough. But we as Adventists know that that's not the real issue. The real issue is what Jesus said in John 14, 15 and 15, 14 and 10. He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And we're going to be sold the Pope's 10 commandments as a remedy to what is obvious evil in the world. And so we're going to see, with the changes from the modern Bible to the end of what shall be thy coming and the end of the world, end of the age, we're going to see Satan come. So remind me before we finish that, how long have we got? Harold? 20 minutes? Well, I didn't hear what he said. Well, I don't often yell across the Pacific, so I might take a wee while to finish this. So just have the patience of the saints. Have you heard that the patience of the saints are going to prevail? Because I want to point out to you that when Julian the Apostate tried to rebuild the temple, God had it destroyed supernaturally. That didn't deter them. Have you heard of the Knights Templar? The Knights Templar were raised up in about 1090 AD, and the leaders of the Knights Templar were Merovingian Jews, and that's why the Crusades were sent to the Middle East to try and get the temple and rebuild the Jewish dream. And when they captured Jerusalem, they put King Baldwin of France, who was a Merovingian Jew, and they claimed to be of the tribe seed of David, on the throne. It's all a big facade. All the spear fodder were Roman Catholics, but at the top, in a tightly knit secret society, the Jews were manipulating the whole thing. And six of the popes before Urban II, who was a Merovingian Jew, were Merovingian Jews. And Peter the Hermit raised the Crusades, and the Christians were told on the lower rungs, Roman Catholics, that we're taking Jerusalem for Jesus. But Jesus had said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. So what happened? Then the Knights Templar came back. Whether they found Solomon's lost gold or not, I don't know. But they became the bankers of Europe. They were Jews. They were linked up with the Jewish bankers around Europe. And they became very wealthy. But in 1290, the Jews were exiled from England, and in 1306 they were exiled from France, and in 1307, on October Friday the 13th, or was it September, I'm not sure, but it was Friday the 13th, and that's where we get the curse in suspicion of Friday the 13th. The union of church and state combined to kill off to kill the Knights Templar. So the King of France and the Pope united to kill the Knights Templar. And Jacques de Molay was a Merovingian Jew. He was the last of the Knights Templar. He was burnt at the stake, and many of them escaped to Portugal and to Scotland. And they went to Scotland because King, or what's his name? It doesn't matter. The King of Scotland, they went there because the Scottish in their constitution believed that they were part of the 10 lost tribes. So the Merovingian Jews went there to shelter from the attack of the King and the Pope, the union of church and state. So they resurrected, listen to this, as the not as the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. So Freemasonry is a continuation of the Knights Templar, and the Jews control Freemasonry, and their goal is to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and as God's chosen people to rule the world from there. But these are the bad guys, and the Sunday Christians are going to stand up against it, a grassroots movement, and the devil's playing both sides. Do you follow me? And the real issue, we know what it is, of right and wrong, and we have to tell the world that it's being deceived, as we saw in Revelation 12:9. So what happened? They had a vendetta. Who do you think the resurrected Knights Templar in the form of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry had a vendetta against? The Pope and the King. The powers of Pope and King, which had ruled Europe for so long. And so they went underground through secret societies, and they decided they hated the Catholic Church, and they hated the kings of Europe, which had butchered them and robbed them periodically of their money, and they would start again from scratch and build up their money again. So they went after the Catholic Church and in the 1700s, early 1700s. But there was a problem. The secret police of the Catholic Church were the Jesuits, right? So they just knew they could not destroy the Catholic Church and the kings of Europe until they destroyed the Jesuits. Well, they went after the Jesuits. The first to fall was in Portugal in about 1764 or 5. I might be a couple of years out. But Pompeu was the Freemason who was in charge and advisor to the King of Portugal. And they disbanded the Jesuits there. Then they attacked the Jesuits in France, and a couple of years later they got rid of them there through the Freemasons. And I've got all this evidence on slides, which can, for those who are interested. And then they turned on the Jesuits in Spain, and they got the Jesuits in Spain in 1768 or 9. And then the Jesuits were disbanded by Clement the 14th, and they were destroyed and closed down in 1773. Then that they financed through secret societies the French Revolution. And there were the three powers, the Jewish money power controlling secret societies and the Pope and the King. They first created the French Revolution, and the Pope, in 1794, the king's head was lopped off. That was revenge. And I can show you there were statements saying when Louis the 16th's head fell from the guillotine, this is Albert Pike in Great in Morals and Dogma, page 623, said when Louis the 16th's head fell from the guillotine, half our work was done. What was the other half of the work? Louis XVI's head fell from the guillotine into the basket. Half our work was done. What was the other half? To capture the Pope in 1798. Do you get it? So then the bankers who had financed the French Revolution to get rid of these two terrible powers, and they were terrible, Napoleon Bonaparte had his hand in his jacket, which means he's what? Freemason. So what is the goal of Freemasonry? To rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And so where was Napoleon in 1798 at the time of the end? He was in Egypt. Why do you think he was in Egypt fighting the Mamelukes? Because I've got three statements where he says, we will take Jerusalem. He was there to take Jerusalem for the Jews so their lifelong dream could come to next year Jerusalem. But they were destroyed by the King of the North, the Muslim world, that came at him like a whirlwind. And now that's controversial, because That's bringing in Daniel chapter 11, but I believe it fits together in a literal historic manner. Okay, then these two powers, Rome wanted to regain its lost ascendancy. They fought each other all the way through the 1800s, and Rome was wanting to regain its ascendancy. In 1870, under Pius X, it's lost its secular power and control, and we know that wound was inflicted in 1798. But then they financed, the Illuminati, the Jewish Zionists financed all sides in the First World War. No one won the First World War. And Henry Ford wrote a book about it. You can have a look at it, called The International Jew. They financed all sides. They brought America into the war. And what was the outset? They sold us the League of Nations, the Bank of International Settlement. All of Russia went to the communists, and 56 out of 59 on the first Supreme Soviet were Jews under assumed names. It was financed by the world leader, a secular leader of Jewry, Jacob Schiff from the Kinlo Banking Company in New York. Now, they destroyed Russia. They destroyed the King of France during the French Revolution, during the First World War. They destroyed the German monarchy, the Austro-Hungarian monarchy, and they destroyed the Russian monarchy by murdering them all. And so they replaced all the union of power of church and state with a republic. And therefore there was no king and no pope. And the only power was the one that came through the revolution in the shadows, the monetary power of Freemasonry and Jews. And that's why Napoleon was in Egypt. It's logic and it makes sense. And so that a republic is like America. No pope and no king. But you have no say. You have a democracy where your votes are rigged now, but beforehand what happened, you could only have, you only decide what color the city buses will be or what color the street signs will be. You have no monetary control. Do you follow me? So what happened after the First World War, and I'll make it short because I've only got a little while left. After the First World War, they got the land of that got through the Lord Balfour Agreement, they got the right to immigrate to Palestine. And then they knew after the next war they were going to fight, they had a problem, and that was the Jewish people were quite happy living in their adopted countries around the world. So they had to finance Hitler and his anti-Semitic program. Why? To force the Jews to want to go and live in Israel. And the same thing's going on today. So after the Second World War, they got the nation of Israel. And then after the Six-Day War, they got the temple site. Do you follow me? So these are the bad guys. But they're not going to build their temple because God is not going to have his dear son, Jesus Christ, turned into a liar because he said that not one stone will be left upon another stone. The temple is now in our hearts. But you see this evil power behind the New World Order. I'm saying they're the bad guys. The devil's playing those guys, the bad guys, in order to have the Sunday-keeping Christians stand up on the other side and say, we've got to get back to Jesus. And it's going to end up in a conflict, most probably a nuclear war in the Middle East, started when God withdraws his protection from America, when they bring in the Sunday law comes in America first. Do you follow me? That's two selected messages, 373. And then we have national ruin. America is going to suffer national ruin. When the angel leaves America, America has been the most favored country in the world because it gave everybody the right to worship God or not worship God according to the dictates of their conscience, which is a biblical principle. The devil is changing America. We know the state, it's going to speak as a dragon. It grows as a lamb with two horns, the separation of church and state. That's going to be changed simply by the devil turning our liberties into licentiousness through this new world order, a satanic power which is ruining Protestantism and ruining God. The reaction's going to come. There's going to be a nuclear war. Satan's going to come as Jesus and tell us to keep Sunday holy. He's going to start the 1,000 years of peace, or as the modern Bible say in Matthew 24:3, it's going to keep the new age, right? He's going to start the new age. We know that when Jesus comes back, we're going to meet him in the air. The elements will melt down with fervent heat, and it's going to be the end of the world. Take note of these statements. We should learn them off by heart. We don't have time today to read them out. But these statements show that Satan is going to come as a great angel of light. And 2 Corinthians 11:14, right? It says there that Satan, do not be surprised. Yeah. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So we've got to remember that one. And what's the logic of this? The logic is that if we don't understand these, that all these Baptists, other poor souls that God wants us to warn, they will walk right into the trap. And as it says, they said in Great Controversy 6:23 to 6:24 and 5, Jesus has come. Jesus has come, right? And he's going to speak with a melodious voice. He's going to sit the little kiddies on his knee and he's going to give them a wee kiss. And he's going to heal the sick. The blind will see. And Jesus is, and he starts 1,000 years of peace on this earth. But do you know what happens? When the plagues start falling, they turn on their pastors and the devil laughs because he's deceived the world. So we have a missionary work to do. We have to have a love for lost souls. We have to tell people who want to listen that Jesus is coming back. But when he does, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the Lord and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're not in heaven, they're on this earth. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain through all the persecution of the mark of the beast by the image of the beast shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so comfort one another with these. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these verses, with these words. 2 Thessalonians 2:8-9. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So you can take Revelation 12:9, and you can take 2 Corinthians 11:14, you can take 2 Thessalonians 2:8-9, and you can take Galatians 1:6-9, where it says, if even an angel from heaven preach any other message to you, let him be accursed. Anyone that preaches anything that the word of God, let him be accursed. And then we see in Matthew 24:5-24, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And so, and Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. And so these are some of the texts. You should have a notebook and build on them. But what we see now in the Middle East with Israel, has anyone heard of the Kaluji plan? In is it Genesis 15:18, God made a promise to Abraham, and it said that I will give you the land from the Nile or the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. So what they're trying to do is get all the Zionists today, which control America and are using American boys to die in the Middle East, getting rid of all the Muslim governments, right, and replacing them under the International Monetary Fund of the Rothschilds. Wherever they take out Gaddafi, they stole his gold, 150 tons of gold. They stole $17 billion worth of gold from Iraq, and it's evil what's going on, but they're the obvious evil. So what happened today under the Kaluji plan, they've put 2 million people, Muslims, they're destroying the houses of the Palestinians, and they're building Jewish settlements, and they're forcing these refugees into Europe. Now, that's creating a terrible grassroots reaction. In Hungary, Austria, Poland, etc., they're saying we're not taking these refugees. But the plan of the Illuminati is to mix all the races up in the world into one brown race. And so they will rule them from Jerusalem. But But this is the bad guy. That's their Antichrist. The light has been, spotlight is taken off the Pope, who you and I know is the man of sin. And we're seeing the devil fulfilling all the false prophecies of the Sunday and Baptist keeping churches. But what happened? That they financed Hitler to put the heat under the Jews so they'd want to get to Palestine. They were quite happy living in their adopted country. Do you follow where I'm coming from? And now they're doing the same thing today. They're emptying out the land between the Nile and the Euphrates with killing and maiming and with American boys helping them because the Jews control America through the Wall Street banks. They control Hollywood. They control the multinationals because they took over your Federal Reserve system in 1913. And so what happened next? Throwing all these refugees, well-organized boatloads into Europe, and no one's allowed to stop them. And they're now financing anti-Semitism in Europe. Why would they do that? To scare the Jews into coming back to live in Palestine, and it's working. So they want the people to come back there and they will rule. The Sunday keeping churches are standing up and they are going to return America to a good old fashioned Christian society with Sunday keeping in it. Now, we started off mentioning about the beast from the bottomless pit. We said that in Revelation 18:2, that the woman became the habitation of demons. Now in Revelation 17:8, it says the woman rode the beast from the bottomless pit. Sister White makes it clear in Great Controversy 268 that the beast from the bottomless pit was the power, the Freemasonry in Revelation 11:7, that was Freemasonry and the Jewish money power destroyed France. And that was the beast from the bottomless pit. She explains that in Great Controversy 268. So now we see the woman riding the beast from the bottomless pit. And I urge you to do some study showing that at Vatican II, when Pius XII died of poisoning, he was poisoned in 1958, he was replaced by Cardinal Siri. Cardinal Siri was another conservative. And so he was stood down through blackmail, and John the 23rd was a Jew. He was followed by Paul the 6th, who was another Jew. Then an Italian was elected, John Paul I, and he was poisoned after 33 days. That shows it was a Masonic 33-degree murder. And then he was replaced by John Paul II, who was a Polish Jew. Then he was replaced by Benedict the 16th, who was a Bavarian Jew. And now Francis is an Italian Jew living in Argentina. So there is a Jewish influence in what is going on in the world. Sister White said in Desire of Ages, page 36, that when the Jews killed Christ, they changed sides and became the agents of Satan and were responsible for the destruction of this world. Christ was offered the world by Satan. Satan said, "This is my world. I can give it to whom I wish." Christ turned him down, praise God. But others, he's given the power of money to the Jews who crucified Christ. And if you want to debauch yourself morally, you can become a star overnight. The devil can give you millions of dollars. I don't want to trade off my eternal life for that. But I am saying he gave the Jews power over the money, and they are the Antichrist, and it's going to be interesting what happens from here on in. But all I'm saying is do some study on the Vatican is now being molded into the Jewish one world order. And I had an old Jewish friend, and that Jewish friend, it was a Jesuit. And he explained to me all these things, that at Vatican II, the Vatican became the habitation of devils, and it's now riding the beast from the bottomless pit. So do some research on that for yourself. We know the world is coming to an end. I think I've used my 10 minutes twice, haven't I? But be what it may, thank you for your patience today. Does anybody have any questions before we close in prayer? What I'm telling you today is controversial, right? And I don't expect you to believe it unless you study it for yourself. But it shows you where the Jesuits fit in with the Knights Templar and the Freemasons and all these things. Any more questions? Well, I don't rule out that, brother. He can bring flying saucers. And you know what? Sister White said he's going to bring the disciples, and he may very well bring Sister White. And she might giggle and say, ha ha, I was right on everything except the Sabbath. So we can't rule out anything. There are UFOs around. It's withheld technology from us. They don't necessarily come from outer space. They're built in Arizona. Is it Area 51? And that's another story altogether. We won't go down that track. I don't want to cut into your lunchtime. But don't be surprised if he brings your grandmother as well. Well, thank you for your patience today.